Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. This is written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His name. The Son of God became a man to enable men to become sons of God.
God's good, isn't He? God's speaking in different ways this morning, and so I just wanted to catch people when I know they have words to share. And so just real fast before we jump into the message, just another word to share from this morning. Just believing that God is calling for a harvest. But as Scripture tells us, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. And so we need to pray for people to bring in the harvest. And so I have twofold on that. I think we should pray for it. And I also would challenge you that you should not pray for it if you're not willing to step up for it. Because you could be the answer to your prayer. You are the answer to your prayer. And you just have to trust that God will give you the words to share. And He will. He's faithful. There are so many people around you that need Jesus. And here's the amazing thing that the enemy does. And I know you're like, you're saying the enemy does an amazing thing. He does. He makes you believe that you can't share your faith because you're not perfect. But I want to let you know, you'll never be perfect. And because of your imperfection, your faith stands stronger. Because you need Jesus, just as your neighbors do. And that actually speaks more than you'll ever imagine. And so, Father, I pray for everyone in this room, for just a stirring in their hearts, that, Lord, with You, they can do all things. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for just open ears to You, that, Father, they will hear You speaking when it's time, when You open a door for them to speak into somebody's life about You. And that, Lord, we don't speak correction, we speak love. We share our testimony. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for just a confidence in You that when they see a door open, they step through and they just share You in love. Father, as we turn to Your word, I ask You to hide me behind the cross and let my words be Your words. Speak through me today, Lord. Open our eyes to Your scriptures, encourage us, challenge us, and let us leave here looking more like You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I just want to take 2 seconds, and I know where I keep saying that, but I will get to my message eventually, and I promise it won't be 2 seconds. But I want to recognize Scott Cooper's here today. He's one of our missionaries. He does street work in Peterborough. And so, Scott, we just stand for 1 second. I just want them to see you because they people can connect with you after the service, find out how Scott's doing and what he's doing in Peterborough. It's just a great work. And so while we're fellowshipping and enjoying each other's company, make sure you connect with him, and he will fill you in. Scott's just an incredible man. And Wendy, he gets to do what he does because of your strength. And so thank you for both of you and just the influence you've had in my own personal life. And so it's blessed to have you guys here today. Have you guys ever seen someone who loves something so deep and dearly, and then all of a sudden something new comes out, and they move on so quickly? They just jump from one thing to the next. They're so excited, and then all of a sudden they just move on to the next thing. They're cheering for one team, and next they're cheering for another team. Whoever's doing best, they jump to that team. They're not like Leaf fans. That was actually a compliment. Thank you. I know they're all anticipating the backhanded slap, which I'll just keep to myself this morning. It's family day. But they just move on to the next best thing. They try to jump, and they just want whatever's the newest and coolest thing. As we continue looking at the book of John, in John 1, we see this with two of John the Baptist's disciples. They are John the Baptist's disciples. They see Jesus coming. John points out that this is the Messiah, and two of his disciples take off. They take off. They go to follow Jesus. They call him Rabbi, and they want to go and become his disciples. What you have to realize is the disciple basically is like Christ. We're Christians like Christ. So this morning I want to talk to you about being like Christ. What you have to understand is when rabbis chose their students to follow them, this was something that was very common in biblical days. So that's why when Jesus walks along and he says to his disciples, follow me, or he doesn't say to his disciples, he just says to random people, follow me, that they drop everything and take off with him, because it was common that the rabbis, the teachers, would come along, find their disciples. So all of Jesus' disciples, what you have to understand, were the leftovers. They didn't make the cut. This is why they were fishermen. This is why they did other things, because the rabbis chose their students, and these guys were left over. See, what you have to understand was in these days, to be a religious leader was something everybody wanted. And if they didn't receive that calling, it was a discouragement. This is why when they say, follow me, they pack up and they leave. I hope that you've read this before, and when you saw that, you kind of went, why were the parents not concerned? You have to realize, these are all teenagers. I want you to understand, we teach our children not to do this. Stay away from the white vans. If somebody says, I have a puppy I want to show you, you run the other way. If somebody walked up to your child and said, follow me, and your child started walking with them, you would think you were a bad parent. Did I not teach them not to do this? But the parents are actually excited because a rabbi, a teacher, sees their child as worthwhile to invest in. So if you ever felt in your life passed over, Jesus just might call you. That's what he did with his disciples. If you can identify with the disciples in the Bible, that's a good thing. If you ever feel like you can't share Jesus with people, that you're just, I don't know if I can do that, read the Gospels. Look at Jesus' disciples. If I ever feel like I've messed up, and I can't do this anymore. I just read about the disciples, and then I feel pretty good about myself. So we see Jesus' first two disciples, John, who is believed to write this gospel, and Andrew. John's friend, and we discover to be Simon's brother. Now, for many of us, if our friends did this, we would feel betrayed. We would feel betrayed if our friends all of a sudden saw somebody new and we were sitting there like, oh, yeah, that's the next guy. He's pretty awesome. And our friends were like, he's the guy? Yeah. See ya. Every one of us would feel betrayed. But if you remember what we talked about last week, we understand that John the Baptist, his heart was for Jesus to increase and for him to decrease. So he was actually good with it. He wanted his disciples to grow. See, remember, John the Baptist's calling and purpose was focused on Jesus. So these two men leaving John to follow Jesus is after Jesus' wilderness experience. So Jesus goes, gets baptized, he goes in the wilderness, he comes back. These guys see him. John the Baptist points out, hey, there's the Messiah, and they bail. And they go and join Jesus. But it's interesting. It's interesting when they leave. See, John, the writer of this gospel, wants us to know who Jesus is more than what he did. Wants us to know him as a person. So what we have to understand is the first question that Jesus will ask you. Jesus asked John and Andrew as they're following him. He turns around and he says, what do you want? So what do you want? What do you want? When you think of Jesus, you think of your relationship with Jesus, what do you want? Jesus turns around and they respond to him. Their reply was, Rabbi or teacher, where are you staying? I don't know about you, that sounds creepy to me. If two people were following me and I turned around and said, what do you want? And their answer was, where do you live? But what you have to understand is really what they're asking is what many people believe is what's suggested is, if you are too busy now, can we visit you later? If you're busy, we just want to learn from you. So where are you staying? We'll catch up to you later. And then Jesus actually says, come and you will see. And it's about 10 a.m. in the morning. Come and you will see. So it doesn't break this down in scripture for us, but what we have to realize is they spend basically the whole day with him. They spend the day with Jesus. I want you to imagine for a moment, if you had the opportunity to sit with Jesus around a fire, walk with him down the street, what would you ask him? What would your conversation be? Whatever it was, they spent the day, and John and Andrew were so impressed with their time with him that they went and found their brothers. They went and found their brothers. John goes and finds James. Andrew goes and finds Simon, who becomes Peter. John, who's writing this gospel, he depicts Andrew in a very unique way in his gospel. Whenever we find Andrew in the gospel of John, he is always bringing somebody to Jesus. Bringing them to him. We see him bring Peter. We don't see him preaching, but we see him bring Peter. We bring the young boy with the loaves and the fish. He's constantly bringing people to Jesus. Nowhere do we hear about him preaching. But his personal one-on-one ministry, he always was bringing people to Jesus. See, so many of us don't feel like we can fit in. We don't feel like we can do ministry. But one-on-one, any one of you can lead people to Jesus. We talked about this in the past when we talk about invite and invest in one. What if this year you invested in one person? Just one. just one. And you invited them out to church. You invited them out to events. You invited them into your home. You invited them for coffee. You invested in their lives. Every one of us can do this. See, when Andrew, he goes and he tells Simon in verse 41, he says, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." Now, depending what you research on the word Messiah, in Hebrew it means anointed. In the Greek it means Christ. But to the Jews, it meant Son of God. So when Andrew goes to Simon and says, "We found the Messiah," what he hears is, "We found the Son of God, the one we've been waiting for." See, in the Old Testament, prophets and priests and kings were anointed, and thereby they were set apart for special services, and kings especially were called God's anointed. And we see this when Saul gets anointed to be king, and we see it where David is anointed to be king. So when the Jews spoke about their Messiah, they were thinking of the king who would come and deliver them and establish his kingdom. This is why it was so hard for them to understand who Jesus was. Because he didn't come and overthrow the Romans. And this is what they expected. They expected a kingdom here on earth. See, this is where it was confusing for the Jewish teachers as to what the Messiah would do. See, some of them saw it. They saw that he would come as a suffering sacrifice, while others saw him come as a splendid king. Jesus had to explain to his own disciples, his own followers, that the cross had to come before the crown. See, many of us, we want the anointing, we want the giftings, we want the blessing. We don't want the suffering. So many people I know that are strong in faith, that are so gifted, and I see God do so many great things through them, they are broken. They've suffered. See, what we have to understand is when you think of horses, you can be the fastest, strongest horse. But if you're not broken, you're going to be left in the stable during the wartime. We have to walk through some hard times so that God can give us the crown, the anointing that we need. See, he explains that the cross had to come before the crown, that he must suffer before he could enter into his glory. And what we have to understand is whether or not Jesus was indeed the Messiah was a crucial problem that challenged the Jews in that day. When we were in Israel over in Israel for a couple weeks with our tour, and we were ministering on one of the tours we went on, one of our guides, he was fantastic, he was incredible. But I caught what he said one time. He goes, "In the future, my Messiah will walk down that hill and through that gate for the first time. For you, it'll be the second time." They still wrestle. It's crucial. We have to understand that when Jesus showed up, it wasn't smooth. What they envisioned and what they got were two different things. And we see that today. We see God moving, and how many of us go, "God wouldn't do it that way. He wouldn't move that way." Because you know how Jesus will move. What makes me nervous is it's the religious people that missed him. If Jesus walked into our church today and started doing ministry in our church or in our town, how many of us would miss him? How many of us would say, "It shouldn't be done that way"? How many of us would become Pharisees? Maybe some of us should ask, are we Pharisees? See, there's so many things that Jesus did that there was no reference for until he did it. Now understand, I think you know my heart. We want supernatural things to happen. And we've said it before, we want to keep it simple, we want to keep it sane, but we want it supernatural. And what you have to understand is your comfort level can never be the cap for what God can do. It can't. Well then, Chad, how do we know? We pray, we discern, and I believe we just ask God. God, is this you or not? Because here's the amazing thing when God moves. The way he moves in you will be different than the way he moves in me. Because your personality actually comes into it. Because he created you. All you have to do to see this is on a Sunday morning, when Pastor Melissa's not leading worship and she's down here beside me, you just have to watch the two of us. The way we worship is so drastically different. When the Spirit of God shows up, Melissa's the energizer bunny. Love you dearly. But you will see me physically take a couple steps away. Because as she's worshiping and moving her arms, I don't want to hit. And you will see me get perfectly still. And we're both sensing the same presence of God. So the way you sense his presence is perfect. See, here's how I explain it. Such a simple way, in my opinion. If Melissa and I, for some reason, just felt like taking a fork and sticking it in an outlet. It's a great illustration so far. You, how I respond when I get shocked, because I have now learned to turn the breaker off before you do it, because it just takes a couple seconds. But when I get a shock, I literally don't move. I just literally and stand there. I have never seen Melissa get shocked, but I am willing to bet. Chad, you shouldn't bet. I know, but I'm willing to. That you are going to see her dance across the room. Fair? Why? Because our personalities come in. So, just because you worship God like me, doesn't mean the person dancing, cheering, hooting and hollering is wrong. Because I have to be honest, if everybody worshiped like me, our worship team wouldn't know if we were actually worshiping. A little bit of response lets them know. And you're not responding for them, I understand that. So we need both. And God needs your personality. Because how you will connect with somebody is different than how I will connect. This is why I truly believe that everybody is here. If you look around the room and you're like, oh, I just don't know if I really fit in, there's nobody like me. That's why you're here. Because there's nobody like you. So we need you. Up until you showed up, we only had one eye. The body of Christ was missing something. And this is why you're here. You're not here to sit and observe. You're part of the body of Christ. You have to be living and active. Otherwise, somebody should come along and pinch you to make sure that part of the body is working. Because if it's asleep, you know it. I'm not giving you permission to pinch people. If they're family, whatever. Actually, I just said everybody's family, so maybe I shouldn't say that. Retract that. Everybody has a different idea of what the Messiah was going to be. So as you give your life to Jesus and follow him, the question remains for you this morning. Even if you have accepted Jesus a long time ago, maybe you've never asked this question. What do you want? What do you want? See, the next day, John 1:43, it says, the next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. This morning, Jesus is asking you to follow him. Follow me. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, were fishermen. Interestingly, that at least seven of Jesus' disciples were fishermen. That's all I got for you. It's an interesting fact. So maybe there's something about fishing for all the guys that like fishing. For all the people that don't like fishing, I hate fishing. So you're okay. But seven of them were fishermen. See, Philip, he goes and finds Nathanael and tells him that they found the Messiah and that he's from Nazareth. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and then they fled to Egypt because Herod was wanting to kill every male child under the age of two because of the timeline with the wise men. And so God gives Joseph and Mary a dream, says, go to Egypt. So they flee. Once Herod is dead, they come back and they live in Nazareth. This is how he got there. Now, to be called a Nazarene meant to actually be looked down upon and rejected. And so this is why Nathanael goes, does anything good come out of Nazareth? Here's the amazing thing with Jesus. He hears everything. So here's the interesting thing about Nathanael, because you'll read about him in John, but you won't read about him in any other gospel. Some believe that him and Bartholomew are the same person. John never mentions Bartholomew in his gospel, which I'm thankful for because I hate saying his name. But in the other three gospels, that's the name you hear, but you don't hear Nathanael. So they believe it's the same person. And Philip and him are linked together in Matthew 10, Mark 3, and Luke 6. So it's possible in this time for one man to have two names. And it's possible that Philip and him did ministry together. And this is why you see them tagged together. So Philip steals Jesus' line just a few verses before when Nathanael goes, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip's response is what Jesus said a few verses before in John 1:46. He says, come and see. Come and see. Do you know that if you're talking to a coworker or a neighbor and they say to you, I don't think religion's any help. First off, I love telling people when they say to me, oh, I'm not religious. My response is, neither am I. Which I'll let you know really throws them off. You want to open a door really fast and you're talking about church and you believing in Jesus and they say, oh, sorry, I'm not religious. And you say, neither am I. The door flies open because they are so confused. And then you begin to talk about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they go, well, I don't know if that's for me. Why don't you come and see? Why don't you come and see? See, Jesus would invite others, just as he did Andrew. Come and see. He says, come and drink. Come and dine. Come is a great invitation of God's grace. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, when Nathanael arrives, Jesus makes it obvious that he knew him. He tells him what he saw. We see it in verse 48. Jesus said, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. What we have to get back to is a confidence that we hear the voice of God. Because revealing of the human heart should also take place in ministry of the local church. It should take place in your life. Revealing of the heart. See, when Philip witnessed to Nathanael, the evidence that he gave him was Moses and the prophets. Perhaps as Philip sat with Jesus just a couple days before, Jesus gave him a quick course in the Old Testament Messiah prophecies. Yet it's always good when you're witnessing to tie your personal witness to the Word of God. You share your story. Philip would have told him what they saw, what they encountered, what Jesus would have said to him. He shares his testimony. Because here's the amazing thing in our society. We can argue and debate this. I bet you, all of you in this room, if you know some scripture, could argue and debate over that scripture. Pick one. And we could just have fun debating about it. You want to know what's hard to debate? Testimony. You try to tell somebody what happened to them didn't happen to them. I will tell you, it's just my personality, which I'm praying and trying to work through, but I love debating sometimes, and so I would take the, they call it the devil's advocate, and argue with you about scripture just for kicks. And if you were getting upset about it, this is where I'm praying, I would probably do it more. It's just my personality. If I know you well, if I don't know you well, I'll back off. If I know you well, I'll just keep pushing the buttons. And then I'll sit there humorously laughing as you're getting really upset. I'm praying. I'm not perfect. I'm working around this, all right? But this is why you can argue this. I can take scripture that I truly believe, love, and support, and I'll argue the other side. But I'll tell you one reason I like doing that is so I understand why they disagree with it. It helps me understand how to communicate to them. See, what we have to understand, and this is where Jesus comes from, is in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nation. So whether you're Nathanael and he saw you under the fig tree or not, he knows you. This is why we talked about our personality and who we are, because he created you that way. If you listen, he's going to put you in the right place. The right place will stretch you. That's why you need Jesus. If you're like, well, Chad, I just haven't found the right place yet. It's just been frustrating because you're stepping to the areas where you think you can do it on your own. The places that he's calling you to should scare you a little bit. Well, I didn't think the Spirit of God gave me fear. It's not fear. It's an understanding how much you need Jesus to do it. We need Jesus in our lives to do what he's called us to do. So the second question is, will you follow him? Well, Chad, we've already given our hearts to the Lord. I truly believe that many of you in this room have not answered the question, what do you want? And are you willing actually to follow him? Well, Chad, I gave my heart to him. Yep, but I don't know if you're following him. And there's a difference. There's a difference. Nathanael's response in verse 49, he says this, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Man, that's a pretty good response. And then Jesus' response is this in the very next verse, 1 John 1:50. You believe because I told you I saw you under a fig tree, you will see greater things than that. See, what I truly believe is if you answer the question, what do you want? If you are willing to follow him, you will see greater things. You will see greater things. Jesus continues in verse 51. He says, "Very truly I tell you, you will see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Heaven open and the angels ascending and descending. Jesus paints a picture that mimics Jacob's ladder that we read about in Genesis 28. So Philip and Nathan understand what he's talking about. Today, what you have to realize is Jesus is God's ladder between heaven and earth. He reminds us that he came down from heaven, and his goal is that you and I will bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If we follow him, greater things we're going to see. Later he says, greater things you will do. First we see it. It's good discipleship. It's good mentorship. Let me show you. And then he sends them out when he's still here. You go and do. And then they come back. And then he leaves and it's time for them just to do it. But what you have to understand is that promise is for you today. Greater things you'll see, greater things you'll do. I want you to imagine for a moment lines of cars down the road waiting to get in to give their heart to Jesus Christ. I want you to envision people getting healed and getting saved and physically limbs growing, eyes seeing that couldn't see, ears hearing that couldn't hear. Limbs growing that weren't there before. I want you to begin to envision it, and I want you to begin to believe that it can happen because it is. But here's the difficulty in North America. Because as I say those things, none of you got excited. But it's in here. It's a promise of God. And if you truly follow him, greater things you will do. See, there's still eyes appearing in empty sockets in the world today. There are still deaf ears opening in the world today. There are still people being raised from the dead today. But what you have to understand is it's happening in other countries because we don't desperately need it. How pathetic is that? Chad, I just want to see God move mightily. You're not desperate enough. Because when we pray for your healing, your doctor's appointment this week is already there. Now, should you go see a doctor? Yes. But what if you start believing what's in here? So the question, what do you want? It's such a powerful question. What do you want? Here's what I believe many Christians in North America, not you, other people, North America, but Stratford is by itself and Peterborough today. Many Christians just want to squeak into heaven and not burn in hell. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is just because you heard there's another place after life that sounds pretty bad. You know what, Chad? I got my hand towards a candle one time and it kind of burnt my finger. I want to avoid that. See, it's quiet because now you're struggling. What do I want? Do I actually want a relationship with Jesus Christ when he says, follow me, I'm going to take you places, you're going to do greater things? Or do I actually just want to make sure that I don't end up in that, you know, that other place when I die? You know, the H-E, double hockey sticks. Because we don't even like to say hell in church. What do you want? Well, Chad, I thought I just had to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Is he your Savior, but is he your Lord? When he says, follow me, will you drop everything and follow him? Do you notice when he said, follow me, the disciples didn't pause and say, where are we going? Is it safe? They dropped it all, and away they went. So what do you want? Do you want a relationship with him just enough that you know you're spending eternity with him? Or do you actually want an intimate relationship with the Father where he will tell you the secrets of his heart? Because if you follow him to that degree, greater things you're going to see. It really depends on you. So today is a new beginning. Prayer team, will you join me at the front? I believe it's a new beginning with the simple question, what do you want? Do you want an intimate relationship with the Father? Because here's the encouraging part of this. He wants an intimate relationship with you because he wants to reveal things to you. So this morning, I'm ending differently. I'm not doing a salvation call. We already did that. Somebody gave their heart to the Lord, so I believe the rest of you in here have given your heart to the Lord. But this morning, I'm asking you if you want to follow him. Those are two different things. I believe that you are a Christian. What I'm asking you is, do you want to be a disciple? And if that's what you desire this morning, I believe you will enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ that you've never experienced before. And this is where I tell you all the time, if your relationship with God, if your walk with God is not fun, something's missing. Something's missing. What do I mean by fun? I mean you're sharing Jesus. People, you see their eyes open and their ears open and something come alive in their spirit like, I never thought of it that way. You begin to see people physically healed. Well, Chad, I don't know if that's me. You said personality is different. Personality is different. Calling is the same. The mission was go into all the world and share the gospel and make disciples. That was for all of us. No excuse. I don't care your personality. Super introverted. Do it all the time. Well, Chad, this is what you're called to do. No. All of us are called to share the gospel. He'll equip you. And I'm telling you, it's exciting. Melissa will tell you, I don't get excited about stuff. Seeing people's eyes open and ears open when God speaks to you and gives you a drop of wisdom that you're literally, when you share it with somebody who doesn't believe in Jesus and you see their eyes open and they literally turn their head like, and look at you, and your thought process is this. Give me a second, I got to write that down. I never thought of it that way before. You're taking your own notes because of what God said through you. That's exciting. That's energetic. That makes you go, I want to do this again. It's that one golf shot after a whole horrible game that you're like, that's why I play. So what do you want? Because he wants to reveal things to you. Let's stand together. If you're new with us, you're just hearing what's read and written about in 2 Corinthians 12 and 14, gifts of the Spirit. The amazing thing is in the gift of the Spirit in chapter 14, it talks about done in an orderly way. And I knew Wayne had something to share and he just waited until I was done. I want you to hear what God echoes. There's an open door before you. Tell you that this is my biggest concern this morning. I'm going to tell you fear. And you're going to hear me close in prayer. And you're going to say, I know Chad's talking to a couple people in the room, but I'm good. Every single one of you. Every single one of us this morning has the opportunity to walk through a door that God has opened this morning. The question is, when the narrow gate stands in front of you, which the word was, the narrow gate is where the power and the anointing is, and if you walk through it, there's a breakthrough for you. I know I say it almost every week, but I mean it. Do not walk out of this place the same way you walked in. That is not what God wants. And I promise you deep down, it's not what you want. Not for your own life, not for your grandkids, not for your kids, not for your nieces, not for your nephews. The front is open. Come. Let them pray with you. Sure, you can pray at your seat, but you're supposed to walk through a door. I believe that means walking forward. So the front's open for them to pray with you. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, Father God, that not only have you spoken through your word, but you've spoken through a word of tongues interpretation. That, Father, you are here. Lord, there's a breakthrough in this room right now. And you are the God of the breakthrough. And so, Father, we humbly come to you. Because you're asking us this morning, what do you want? Will you follow me? Because I have such great things to show you. And so, Holy Spirit, move in our lives. Open our eyes and our hearts and our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come, let us pray for you this morning.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.